Does God love you? Are you sure of it? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You think about how God loves you, and it just does something to your heart. See, that's why the love of God is so critical. That's why you cannot worship God, in my estimation, if you don't think He loves you, because you're not going to be able to love Him back. This is critical. This is where so many people that come to church who are true Christians, this is where they break down. They trusted in other things and they didn't need God, and they didn't know they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and they didn't come before the Lord with all that was in them.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and we're excited that you joined us today as we've just started another powerful series from Pastor Jeff that is foundational to every born-again believer. It's about worship. You know, Jesus said the Father is looking for true worshipers, and therefore worship Him in spirit and truth. But in reality, what does that mean, practically speaking? And how can we make sure that our worship is pleasing to God? While there are many misunderstandings about what worship really is, today Pastor Jeff will help clarify in a series called The Heart of Worship, Worshiping God in Spirit and in Truth. If you're not able to stay with us for the entire message today, you can go online to listen again at fromhisheart.org. There you can download a free MP3 of any broadcast, as well as the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. Right now, though, open your Bible to Psalm 95. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to help us find out, what is worship?
How can our worship count and we be a blessing to God this day and every day? Essential number one, to worship God, you have to see who God is. Look at verse 3 again. It says, "For the Lord Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods." He's a great God and a great King above all gods. So right off the bat in this psalm, we're introduced to the God who is a great God. And the Lord is a great God who can do anything in your life, in my life, in your situation, in my situation, in our situation. The Lord is the great God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And the scripture here says in Psalm 95, it goes on to talk about how God created it all. In verse 4, "In whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are His also, the sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land." Wow. And let verse 3 burn into your brain, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." He can do anything in your life, and He is over every situation and everything that happens. Essential number two, not only do you have to see who God is, but you, in order to worship God, you have to see who God is to you. It says in verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Well, when it says that we're His sheep, that obviously means He's our shepherd. And the Bible is very clear that the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep." Psalm 23 is the most well-known psalm in all the world. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, you know what it really, really says in the Hebrew, Psalm 23 verse 1? It doesn't say, "The Lord is my shepherd." It says this, "The Lord shepherds me." The Lord shepherds me. Now, it's, you say, well, same thing. It is, but it's an active verb. Jehovah, Yahweh, Ra'ah. Ra'ah is a verb, shepherds me. Ro'i is the Hebrew noun, which means shepherd. And that's why sometimes if you go do a study on the names of God, you'll find sometimes they have Yahweh Ro'i, and sometimes they talk about Yahweh Ra'ah, R-A-A-H. And you say, "Well, Lord, what is your name? Is it Yahweh Ro'i, the Lord my shepherd, or Yahweh Ra'ah?" Well, Psalm 23 says, the Lord shepherds me. And what does a shepherd do? He takes care of the sheep. He leads the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He guides the sheep. He protects the sheep. He cares for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. The Lord cares for you. See, not only does he love you, which is a wonderful thing, so critical, but it goes even deeper. He cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. You're the sheep of his hand. He wants to keep you close at hand. He wants to keep you close to him and keep me close to him. And when we stray, what does the scripture say he does in Luke 15? He leaves the 99 safe in the fold and he goes out and he seeks for the one who's lost to bring that one back. And maybe you're here today and you say, I've wandered away from the Lord. Man, I'm having a hard time believing he loves me. He does. And if you've wandered away, Jesus Christ is seeking you today because he loves you and he cares for you and he doesn't want you to go far from him. He is the good shepherd who cares for us. And you know what's really cool to think of this? The Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd became a lamb and died for me. Wow. Wow. That proves his love, his care for me. Because I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. The master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And he did it by becoming a man, by becoming the Lamb of God who died for me on the cross. Now, the Lord is your God who loves you. He's your shepherd who cares for you. And you know, the other name that we find so often in scripture for the Lord is Father. Jesus said, pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven. He is our Father who is proud to be our dad. That will blow you away when you let your mind really wrap around that. God is proud to be my dad? Yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I think a lot of us have the idea that God, you know, here we are, we've received Christ as Savior and Lord. But we're just so inconsistent in our Christian life. We're so inconsistent in this thing called worship. We're so we are people walking around with a dime stuck to our eyeball, and that's all we see is our problems, and we moan and groan and whine and gripe and complain all the time. And we say, you know, when we really get honest, we say, God must, you know, he loves me, but he must be disgusted with me. I mean, I am the black sheep of God's family. And God has different ones that he is so excited about. He's so excited about Matt Reynolds, and God is so excited about Larry Sims, and God is so excited about Matt Landers. But when it comes to me, he just shakes his head. Boy, you're just a big disappointment, God says. That's a lie. That's a lie. God is proud of you. He's proud to be your dad. He's not ashamed to be called your God. When you let that really sink in your heart, God is proud of me. Makes all the difference in the world. I remember when my daughter Amy was just learning how to make art. And she's a very good artist now. But when she was young, she was just learning how to do art. And I raised my kids with this in their head all the time. Your dad is so proud of you. Your dad is so proud of you. Your dad is so proud of you. And I remember she made some drawing. She was 3 or 4 years old and she showed it to me and she said, Daddy, are you so proud of me? And I said, Amy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I want my kids to know that their dad is proud of them. I had the great privilege of being with my dad before he died. I got to Houston on Monday. 2 weeks ago, we took him home from the hospital Monday. He was home Tuesday. He died Wednesday night. Went into a coma early Wednesday morning and didn't speak again until he passed away. But when I was there with him on Monday and we got him home on Monday night, I had a time just he and I, and he said to me, he said, Jeff, I love you and I'm proud of you. I said, Dad, I love you. I'm proud of you. You've been a good dad. He said, I tried. I tried to be a good dad. That was special to me to have that in my heart before he died, to know that my dad is proud of me. And maybe you're here and you say, Jeff, I wish I could hear that from my dad, that my dad was proud of me. I wish I grew up in a home where my dad told me all the time, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of you. But I didn't have that. Listen, today you can have something a million times greater, and that's your Father in heaven saying to you, I am proud to be your dad. And the moment that you open your heart and receive Christ, you become a child of God, and the great King becomes your Father, who is proud of his children. Hey, to worship God, you have to see who God is. You have to see who God is to you. And then essential number three, you have to respond to him. Worship is a response to the revelation of God, who he is and what he does. And so I have to respond to the Lord if I'm going to worship. Just knowing who God is and just seeing who God is to me, I haven't worshiped yet. I'm just getting into the mode where I can worship. I have to respond. And you respond to the Lord with reverence and awe. Scripture says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 11, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. One of the things about true worship is true worship always carries with it a little bit of mystery. There is the fear of the Lord that's involved in worship. Now, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear, and we're to be in a perfect love relationship with God. But you always remember this, God is not like you and me. God is God. And when we worship the Lord, we always come before him with reverence and we rejoice with a little trembling. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. When the scripture says in Isaiah 6, and Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said there were angels around the throne of God. And he said they had six wings, and with two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They covered their face. They were right in the presence of God, and they covered their face. They're mighty, holy angels, but they cover their face. Why do they cover their face? Because you're in the presence of God. He is holy God. Can't look upon God. God is too beautiful. You don't look upon God. When Moses saw God at the burning bush, and the Lord said to him, take your shoes off, Moses, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. The Bible says that Moses was afraid to look upon God because he's so holy. He's so awesome. He's the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. And so there's this healthy reverence and awe when you worship the Lord and when you respond to him. And you respond with a heart filled with love and gratitude. You think about how God loves you. And it just does something to your heart. See, that's why the love of God is so critical. That's why you cannot worship God, in my estimation, if you don't think he loves you. Because you're not going to be able to love him back. And the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And when you receive his love and you understand God loves me, then you stand amazed in the presence, as the song says, of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Wow, I receive that. And as Chris Tomlin sings, I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. And I come before him, and my heart is filled with love. Why? Because he loves me. And I'm grateful for that. And then you respond with all that is within you. With all that is within you. This is critical. This is where so many people that come to church who are true Christians, this is where they break down. This is where the church at Laodicea broke down. The church that was lukewarm toward God. They trusted in other things and they didn't need God and they didn't know they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and they didn't come before the Lord with all that was in them. David did. David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. With all that is within me. Lord, I'm coming to you with my mind because that's within me, with my soul, with my will, with my emotions, with my volition, with my body, with my hands, with my feet, with my mouth, with my eyes, with everything I've got, I am all in and I am worshiping you. And that's how you come before the Lord. That's how you respond to the Lord. You think the Lord wants you to come before him and respond with some that is within you? With 80% that is within you? Is that the way you want to be with your spouse? You're going to get married and you're doing your vows and she's like, yeah, I'm 80% in. Hey, I'm 80% I do. That's pretty good. You know, maybe 90. No, you want it all in there. Oh, look what the scripture says, how this psalm starts out. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout, we're shouting again, joyfully to him with psalms. And look at all the verbs in there. Robert Weber wrote a book called Worship is a Verb. Worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is not sitting around like this saying, well, entertain me. That's not worship. There are no spectators in worship. You know what we desire for this place when we sing and when we preach God's word? That everyone engages. Because if you disengage, you're obviously not worshiping the Lord with all that is within you. You can't worship the Lord with all that is within you when you're filling out your grocery list during the singing, when you're texting your buddies and on YouTube or whatever you're doing. You know, you're playing duck, duck, goose up in the balcony. I don't know what's going on, but you say, well, I'm here to worship. Yeah, but are you all in? Are you coming before the Lord? Look at all these verbs. Oh, come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. Let us shout. He talks about shouting twice. Some people get the idea that worship is supposed to be quiet. It's like you're watching golf. You ever notice that in golf? Jeez, buddy. Well, let somebody scream at him. Let's see if you're a real athlete. Man, I'm shooting free throws. Everybody's banging those clappers back there. But worship is not a golf tournament where everybody, shh, and then you make the putt. That's what they do. Hey, that's not worship. In the Bible, the default setting for worship in the Bible is loud. It's shouting. It's joyful. There is a time for a solemn assembly, but that's not the default setting. That's a separate thing that, hey, we're going to seek the Lord and it's going to be a gut-wrenching thing and we're repenting before the Lord and we're getting things right before the Lord. But the worship of God, by and large in the Old Testament, is shouting for the victory and rejoicing, and there's joy and there's celebration. Why would there not be? I'm loved by the King and it makes my heart want to sing. I'm my beloved's and he is mine and his banner over me is love. Why would I not shout about that?
Wow. Well, if that doesn't make the believer want to shout and maybe even cry tears of joy, then worship is not really happening in your heart. Pastor Jeff returns in just a moment to wrap up this important message from His Heart today. It's called What is Worship? And it's from his series, Worshiping God in Spirit and in Truth. Now, we are thrilled to share today about an incredible opportunity that you and I have to proclaim hope to more lives searching for real truth. You may already know that today is Giving Tuesday. It's a global movement day when people all over the world are encouraged and inspired to give to causes that are most important to them. From His Heart has prayerfully set a one-day goal of $10,000 today in hopes of reaching even more lives from God's amazing grace. We're currently heard on now over 840 stations across America. And we know that when we work together, we can expand our reach to a world who needs to trust Christ. And we hope that you'll get involved today in this Giving Tuesday campaign to give us a great jump start on our year-end giving, a critical time for us. And if you can give a gift of $25 or more to From His Heart today, we'll send you the new 52-week daily devotional book called The Heart of Worship. It has a beautiful faux leather cover, and it'll be a blessing to you every day of the year. Pastor Jeff contributed to this inspiring book, The Heart of Worship. To get yours today with a generous gift this Giving Tuesday, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. And God bless you for all you do to help us bring light to a dark and a hurting world. Well, let's conclude today's message called, What is Worship?
A few years ago, I saw Jack LaLanne doing an infomercial for the juicer. Jack LaLanne died this year at 96. He was an incredible guy. But they asked him, I'll never forget this, I wrote it in the back of my Bible. They asked Jack LaLanne, because if you've ever seen Jack LaLanne, not a big guy, but he's strong as an ox. He was talking about the juicer, and he's hawking the juicer, and he is so jazzed about the juicer. And the reporter said to him, doing this infomercial, she said, you seem pretty excited about the juicer. And he said, if you found something that changed your life, wouldn't you be enthusiastic about it? And I thought to myself, man, if that guy can get all that excited about a piece of metal and plastic that you plug into the wall, how much more can I get excited about the great God and the great King above all gods who can do anything in my life? You respond with all that is within you. Now listen, I thought about this, because some people say, well, I'm more reserved than that. Is there anything in your life where you get real excited? I mean, if you're just a person that nothing does anything for you in terms of outward excitement, nothing, then that's different. But you know what I've found? A lot of people that come to church and they do the golf clap and they do the shh, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. I mean, that's your mantra, you know. What I found with those people, you get them around a grandchild, woohoo! They just get all excited and they get on the floor and they're doing all sorts of things. Man, they're all in with that grandkid. You get them out to the football game to watch the Aggies or watch the Longhorns or watch the Arkansas Razorbacks, and what do? They scream, they yell, they shout. Well, you seem pretty passionate about that. To watch PG play, to watch Texas High play. Boy, you're real excited about that. You come to church. Whoa, wait a minute, time out. Are you not supposed to be the most engaged and the most passionate about the most important person in the whole world, and that's God? Of course. The Lord's looking for people to be all in. That's the response that he wants. What is worship? Worship is when you see God for who he is, the great God, the great King. When you see God for who he is to you, he is the great God who loves you, the shepherd who cares for you, the Lord who gave his life for you, the Father who is proud of you. And you're all in. And you say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. I'm all in, and I bless your name and all that is within me. Father is looking for worshipers who will worship him with all that they've got.
As Pastor Jeff has said so well today, worship is your loving, adoring, all that is within me response to the revelation of God. To worship him, you have to see who God is and who he is to you. I hope that your heart is responding to God in awe, in gratitude, and that you've been renewed in your desire to truly worship the King. Today you heard part two of the message called What is Worship? You can get the entire unedited lesson and the series that it comes in called Worshiping God in Spirit and in Truth when you go online to fromhisheart.org. One more reminder, today is the Global Day of Giving called Giving Tuesday. We've set a $10,000 goal today. Trusting God will move on the hearts of our listeners to help us reach that goal that'll help us impact people around the world throughout next year. And to become part of this Giving Tuesday effort, you can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. And thank you so much for joining with us. Be with us next time on From His Heart when Pastor Jeff will return with the next encouraging lesson in this eye-opening series, The Heart of Worship. That's on Wednesday when we'll open up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.